Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. This is, I cannot tell you how many times this happens, but I'm going to kind of I'm going to show you how awesome the Holy Spirit is. Dennis, did you and I have, at any point this week, have a conversation about what you were going to talk about? So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, please. We're going to go to the start, to the beginning. Genesis means the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Y'all stay with me. We're going to hit some scriptures tonight, but I'm going to show you something powerful. Genesis chapter 1. Dennis and I did not talk, not one word, about what he was going to say or what I was going to say. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good." The light was good. Praise God. And in verse 10, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good." All right, good. Y'all following along with a brother. So that was the end of the second day. And then in verse 12, "The earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree-yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." You know, I want to back up real quick on verse 11. It says, "And God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass.'" You know, this earth was created by God and blessed by God to be productive, to produce. Because God doesn't make anything broken. God doesn't make anything worthless or useless. Even the earth itself, if you don't believe me, get you a dry piece of dirt and see how long in the summer you can keep it dirt. I have pulled probably 10,000 weeds. We pulled bushes out right at the beginning of the year, hoping, in faith, believing that we were going to have money to put new bushes in. And we didn't quite get there. Amen. Just means that we need more faith. Better faith, purer faith. I just preached on faith, so y'all follow me. And anyway, so because we don't have bushes in there, we don't have anything else in there. I've been pulling weeds. I am ridiculously irritated with how many weeds. You know why? Because the ground, you know, the ground will even try to grow non-seeds. If you stick a fence post in the ground, amen, farmers. You stick a fence post in the ground, you come back 10 years later, and you probably don't have the bottom to your fence post. You know why? Because the earth tried to grow it. It literally ate it off because it was trying to grow it. The earth was blessed and produced to bring forth. You don't have to work these qualities in your life. You were produced productive. You know, the dirt... If you ever walked by a pile of dirt and you heard the dirt go, be like, what is that dirt doing? I'm trying to grow. What? You're what? You've never heard dirt grunt. Why are we grunting? Oh, amen. All right. Verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And that was the fourth day. And then on the fifth day, verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. Look at there. The waters brought forth abundantly. You know, the water was produced to be productive? Huh. Pretty much everything that God touches is beautiful and productive. Hallelujah. After their kind and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, have lots of little fowls. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God, on verse 25, made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. Verses 24 and 25, in fact, all over this, even in the herbs and all that kind of stuff, you'll see that word kind. Kind. That is the Hebrew version of species. You know, cattle make cattle. Y'all let me know if I get too deep for you, if I lose you or something on here. Horses make horses. Weasels make weasels. You all follow me? Platypuses, I don't know what they make. It's something. Something like a platypus. But the point is that, you know, science wants to try to prove that, you know, evolution and all that kind of stuff. There is no observable place in all of the world ever has there been an observable, scientifically proven change of species. They cannot find a dog that used to be a cat. There's no DNA of cat in a dog. There's no DNA of monkey in you. Oh, come on now. Everything that God creates produces after its kind. After its kind. The species that something is comes from its birth. Oh, come on. Praise Jesus. God has set a system in place, and it is infallible, and it is eternal, that things produce after their own species, after their own kind. And God says that it's good. It's good. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And so God created man, verse 27. Praise God. God created man in his own image. In his own image. Oh, praise Jesus. We know we weren't made after a cow. Praise Jesus. I don't care how big your belt is. You were not made after a cow. Praise God. And all the fat people said amen. Don't say it. And God created, I'll say it, amen. Some of us are just thicker boned. Amen. So God created man after his own image. Why did God make it after his own image? Because there was nothing else that mankind could have been made after. You had to be made after something that would reproduce the kind, the species. You're the God species. Oh, praise God. Praise God. You're the God species. Amen. Well, at least Adam was. I know y'all are with me. Adam was the God species, but we're the sinful rejects. Well, hang with me. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Praise God. In the God species, and He made mankind, He made mankind male and female so that there would never ever be a mixing of that species. He created the God man and the God woman that could carry the God line of the God kind for the God species, for all people, for all time. And God blessed them. Oh, amen. You know what else your species carries? The blessing. You carry a blessing. I've touched on this a bunch, but there is no such thing as a generational curse. There's generational stupidity that makes people believe in generational curses. But there's an entire chapter in the Old Testament. I think it's Ezekiel 18 that says there is. I think it's verse 2. It's Ezekiel 18:2, maybe. You'll have to look it up, ish. Ezekiel 18:2, ish. It says, it will never be said in Israel anymore that the dad ate sour grapes and now the kid's teeth are set on edge. Which is basically Hebrew poetry for saying that if the dad does something stupid, the kid doesn't have to suffer for it. It will never be said anymore in Israel. And you read that whole chapter. Is it 18? Do you all look it up? Okay, you read that entire chapter of Ezekiel 18, and God says over and over and over, the person that does the sin will be qualified by the sin, and they will suffer for the sin. But the person that is in righteousness, they will be granted righteousness because of their righteousness. It won't go from dad to son. Sin does not pass down. This is important. You know, we think that because of what Adam did, that he passed down the traits of sin. You were not passed down traits of sin. You were passed down a nature of sin that came from the fall that was interjected through Adam. Now, there's a difference. A nature of sin means that whether you sin or you don't, you're a sinner. You follow me? Whether you sin or you don't, the traits of sin means that you are activating sin and you're committing it over and over and over. The nature of sin means, you know good people that are not Christians. In fact, I know a bunch of people that are not Christians that are better than Christians. They're nicer. Amen. They don't look like they've been eating lemons all day long. They sleep in on Sunday, so they're not cranky. Amen. Amen. You don't have to live out sin just because you had a sin nature. Now, we're not even to the cross yet, okay? We're where they just made wood. I mean, God just made wood like a couple days ago. We're nowhere near the cross. We just made wood. And God's already aligning for us to understand that there is a blessing that's in our bloodline, that's in our creation. So even if Adam did sin, which was first? The blessing or the curse? So which is going to perpetuate? Oh, amen. I know I'm stepping on some toes here because there's a whole bunch of gospel tracts that are telling you that you're just born to sin and you're never going to make it. You're going to fail because of what Adam did. It was in you. The nature to fail and to be corrupt is in you. And I get it by the fact that we are born into the fact that we need a Savior, but we are still of the God kind. Oh, amen. You know the worst sinner out there still has remorse, still has guilt, still has condemnation because they know that they're not living what they were created to live. Now, it does say in 2 Timothy, it says that you can take your conscience and you can sear it with a hot iron, and then your conscience won't talk to you no more. But I can tell you that there's nobody that I've ever met in my life, and I've met some dregs. I've never met a single person in my life that doesn't know that they've done the evil that they've done was evil. You know, it says in Romans chapter 1 that every single person on this earth has a knowledge and an understanding not only of God's wrath, but also of the Trinity, the divine Godhead. Every single man, woman, and child on earth has a knowledge of what they were created to be, and they know that doing evil and doing bad is contrary to what they were created to be. You can go in the most godless societies that never heard of Jesus Christ, Yahweh, or Elohim, or anything like that. You can go to those societies and you can find that the only reason that society has perpetuated itself is because they've come up with some way in order to treat each other the right way. You will find that natural marriages, husbands, wives, plus children, and they're being raised up in a positive home. Even in the darks of Africa, we went to Africa and we found it out in the bush in Kisumu that people were living in mud huts. They had no language, they had no religion whatsoever. They had nothing, but yet they were still a man, a woman, and children, and they were doing their best to feed their children, supply for their children, and to teach them. Where'd they learn that from? It's in you. Listen, I'm going somewhere with this, but the first thing we need to do, we need to get this religious garbage out of us that says that we're born broken. Amen. You are not born broken. The blessing was before the curse. And so if Adam screwed something up, I'm not arguing that Adam didn't do something horrible, okay? He damned the whole human race. But he did not do something greater than what God did. He created you in the God kind. And the kinds cannot mix. You're still created in the God kind. If you ever get a revelation of that, if you ever get an understanding of that, you will live the God kind life. You're created for it. Your pieces don't function right without it. You are of the God kind and you were blessed from the day of your birth. And God said, behold, and God blessed them, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish. That means fill the earth, and subdue it. Subdue means to conquer. Oh, amen. You know, God told us to conquer before there was something to conquer. You know, God calls those things that be not as though they were. You know, God doesn't speak the same language that this earth speaks. This earth says, I feel like I'm coming down with a cold. God says, by His stripes 2,000 years ago, you were healed. Which one do you align to? Well, my feelings are very loud. You're right, because the cross was very quiet, wasn't it? Okay, fine, the cross was quiet. Let me take you back to the first day that there ever was anything. Light be! Boom! And light at 386,000 miles a second has ejected itself from the center of this universe. And science still has proven that light is still expanding in this universe at that rate. 386,000 miles a second, this universe is expanding. Because God never said light stop. Praise God. God never said, you are cursed. Oh, amen. Well, I thought He cursed everybody. Hold on. We're getting there. Stay with me. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And God said, behold, be fruitful. And I'm sorry, back in 28. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Subdue it, conquer it, and have dominion. Ho, 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 ho. You know what Dennis was talking about? Authority. You know another word for authority is dominion. That means you dominate. Dominion. God created you to dominate this planet. God created you above any influence that could ever slither into your environment. Amen. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. So you have dominion. You have dominance over everything that's in water. Over the fowl of the air, you've got dominion over anything that's foul. Y'all can think of some foul stuff now. Amen. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You know, you have dominion over mosquitoes. Some of y'all are getting really irritated right now because you've gotten a lot of mosquito bites this year that you shouldn't have had to have. You got dominion over everything that lives. If it lives, you've got dominion over it from your creation. We're not even to the cross yet. Y'all stay with me. This is going to be a fun ride now. You have dominion over everything that lives, air, land, or sea. You are the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force of this planet. Amen. And if you need some special ops, we got Beloved Church. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and it shall be for you meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth, you got dominion over the creeps. Over everything that creepeth. For those of you that are King James haters, you ain't got creeps in your Bible. I have dominion over creeps in my Bible. So y'all have fun with that one. Wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was, uh-oh. God's adding adjectives. You know, God's not a poet. He's not adding adjectives because this sentence was missing a word. He said that this is very good. You know what was very good? It was not very good until you were created a, because that's very good. Because all this creation was useless without you. You know, God, just like an artist, he set the master scene. And then at the very end, the master scene, he set the most beautiful object right in the center of it. And that was mankind. He put mankind right in the center of the most beautiful masterpiece ever painted. And not just mankind, not just some inanimate piece of clay, but he took the God-man. He took the God-man woman that was created with dominance to conquer, to rule, and to reign. And he put them in the center of it. And then he said, aha, now this is very good. Not until you were blessed. Not until you were given dominion, not until you were told to conquer, not until you were placed in the center of rulership, of reigning over this beautiful creation. Not until that moment did God ever say a single one of these things was very good. Not until you came. That was the first thing that was very good in all of creation was you. Not just you, though. You with dominion, with authority, with righteousness, with the God-likeness, with the blessing on you. Not just you, but you had all those pieces in you. Praise God. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then God chilled out. You know why? Why did God chill out? Because he was tired? You know, he'd been doing a lot of work now. I mean, I don't know how hard it is to make a palm tree, but man, he... You know, think about it. Hundreds of thousands of different trees and stuff. You know, he was making animals. This dude, it was just sun up to sun down. He was making stuff. You know how he was making it? With his mouth. With his hands. You know, your mouth and your hands are purposeful. You can go through this whole gospel. You can find out that your words and what you touch and what you come into contact with is some of the most important things that this gospel has included into it. Go into all the world. Lay hands on the sick. You know, you could just speak to the sick. It says in Psalms, I think it's 137. It says that your word goes out and heals them and delivers them from all their destruction. You know, Jesus actually spoke a word only. Remember when the centurion came to him? When Jairus came to him and says, no, Lord, speak the word only. You know, you have the power to just speak the word only. But Jesus didn't tell you just to speak the word only. You know, he told you to touch. Why is that? Because the gospel is supposed to be face to face. It's supposed to be person to person. It's supposed to be personable. It's supposed to be, you know, we have video. You know, Beloved Church, we broadcast in video. We have CDs. We have all that kind of stuff. But there's something different about being here. There's something different about being here. There's something different about getting a hug in person versus getting one on a CD. There's more to it. You know, the only way for Kay and I to have procreated was for us to touch. Oh, praise Jesus. God made it that way. God made it that way. And let me tell you, never mind. Chapter 2, verse 19. And out of the ground, y'all stay with me. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name. You know, God didn't, check this out now. This is the scriptures. You know, God didn't make a duck and say, duck, go on over to Adam so Adam can tell you you're a duck. Listen to me now. From the beginning, God created you to name your environment. God is bringing an environment to you. What are you going to call it? God is bringing an environment to you. Oh, praise God. If you all get this, this will radically change your life. God is bringing an environment to you. You know, some of you have evil people in your lives because maybe God wants you to name them. You know what? Maybe there are circumstances and problems that come your way because God has faith in the God kind in you. So things are coming to you to be named or even to be renamed. Remember Abraham, who was Abram? Remember Sarai, Sarah? Remember Jacob, which means supplanter or deceiver, who God changed his name to Israel, the nation of God? Remember Saul, the killer of every Christian, changed into Paul, the apostle of grace. God even wants you to rename things that are in your life. Man, I tell you, I've had this problem in my body for months. I got this soreness, this thing with this stuff. You're naming it. You know, it'd be much better off to say, you know, I used to have this problem in my leg, but I don't have this problem in my leg because the God kind in me has told me to start using my mouth to call those things that God has brought into my life by its rightful name. God brought this leg into my life. I was recreated after the image of God through Jesus Christ at the cross. And so this leg has the health of God in it. Leg. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. We oftentimes are very aware of the problems because you speak them and speak them and speak them. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money for that. I wonder why you don't have enough money for that. You are of the God kind. I wonder if God ever said, well, you know, I'd love to really help you with that, son, but I just don't have any money. I'm tapped out. Wait till payday. Jesus, you need to go flip some burgers, son. We're running out of money up here in heaven. So, or chisel up the streets, you know, streets of gold, chisel those up, we'll do something. Get you a jackhammer, son. You know, God doesn't talk in lack. God brought these animals to Adam and he said, what you call them, that's what they are. You know, Adam could have said, stupid, dumb bird. And then you'd have a dodo. Amen. Praise God. God trusted, listen, God had Adam as part of creation, part of creating. Adam was involved with creating, not just creation, but creating. He brought the animals to Adam and said, whatever you call them, son, they're yours. Whatever you call them. And you know, he didn't call a single one of them helpmeet. Because the helpmeet was on the inside of him. Helpmeet means exactly the same but opposite. That's really what the Hebrew, if you dig it down to its core, it means exactly the same, same species, same authority, same position, but exactly opposite. Just like left and right hands. Amen. That's why the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Got you a good thing when you get you a wife. Because you were missing a hand. Now you got a hand. Amen. Whatever Adam called them, that's what they are. God wanted us to be so much a part of His authority, of His system, of His God-kind system, that He didn't even name the animals. He waited for Adam to do this. Now, I don't know how many fishes there are and how many birds there are and how many animals there are, but I got to tell you, Adam has, he operated in a level of creation that goes beyond what you and I have been doing with our environments. You know what we've been doing with our environments? Well, let's see what happens tomorrow. You know, whatever happens tomorrow, we'll just let it roll on in on us, and then we'll deal with tomorrow. Tomorrow's problems, you know, we'll have a problem tomorrow. You're waiting for it. God brought to Adam all of creation and said, name it. You call it. Whatever you call it, that's what it is. Now listen, Adam had authority in the sea, on the land, and in the air. I want to look at another Adam. And Dennis was already there, Matthew chapter 28. This is the son of Adam. Jesus called himself many, 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 many times the son of man. You know what son of man is? In Hebrew, it's son of Adam. Son of Adam. Jesus said that he's son of Adam. Well, of course he's not Adam's son, so what is he? He is the son, he's of the lineage of Adam. He's of the lineage of Adam. Jesus came, he actually says it, Paul said it, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, it says that the first Adam came and wrecked it, but the second Adam, the last Adam, came and fixed it. Jesus said, I'm the son of man. Jesus said, I'm a man. He's an Adam, an Adam. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. This is after the resurrection. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, now, wait a minute. Adam had dominion. Adam was supposed to conquer. Adam was supposed to dress the garden and to keep it. Dress means to till, to make beautiful. You know, Adam was actually told to make the garden beautiful. How could God create something and Adam make it better? Because God set this whole thing up for us to be co-creators with Him. He wanted us to be creating with Him. You're supposed to dress it, and it also says to keep it. He told Adam to dress the garden and to keep it. You know what keep means? Protect. Protect. You know what he told Adam to do? Adam, there's going to be a slimy serpent that's going to come and start messing with your woman. And you need to protect this garden. Protect this house. You know why Eve ate the fruit, but yet it's the sin of Adam? Because Adam was told to protect his wife. And he failed. And it damned all of creation. He was told to take authority over everything that slithers, over everything that flies, over everything. And that snake slithered up to his wife, and he didn't crush his head when he was supposed to. Had Adam walked in the authority that was given him by dominion, by rulership of his creator, you and I wouldn't have the mess that we had today. Now listen to me, the first Adam screwed it up. He had the authority and he had the right to stomp that snake when he showed up jacking with his wife. The second Adam came and he crushed that serpent. Because God told him there's going to come a man that's going to have his heel bruised by that same snake, but that same man is going to crush his head. Jesus won it. All power in heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth. Jesus came and took the dominion that Adam should have had, and he took it. Not only did he take it from the water, the land, and the sky, but he took it in heaven, and in hell and on the earth. Adam had authority over the seen realms. Jesus Christ has authority over everything from the top to everything to the bottom. And now we are recreated in that second man's image. Jesus won. Jesus won. There is a new bloodline. There's a second Adam that has all power and all authority. All power and all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Who gave it to him? His Father. His Father. He took back what belonged to us. He took back what belonged to us. Go ye therefore. Immediately Jesus turns around and gives it back to mankind. Go you. Go you. Jesus just wins by conquest. He takes back. He kept the garden that his Father gave him. He conquered the land that his Father gave him. He was the Adam that was successful walking out the blessing of what God created him to be. And then he turns right around. He says, all right, now we're going to do this thing right. It's time to take back something that belongs to you and I. This earth and everything in it. In the sea, in the land, and in the skies. Not only that, but in hell below and in heaven above. It is time for us to take back the things that belong to us. You have been stolen from, beloved. Brothers, sisters, you have been stolen from. Your health has been stolen. Your peace has been stolen. Your joy has been stolen. Your resources have been stolen. Some of you have had your children stolen from you. It is time for you to have God bring all these things back to you and you to start naming those things that belong in your life and to take them back by the conquest of all power and all authority that's been given unto the second Adam from whom you are birthed. From whom you are birthed. Remember, every kind produces after its kind. Every species. Oh, praise God. In the garden, we came from the species of Adam. But in this world, beloved, you and I right now are gathered as the species of Jesus Christ. The species of Jesus Christ is who we are. We have all power and all authority. We go into this world. And it says, teach all nations. That word teach is disciple. We're supposed to be discipling nations. Nations. We're scared of our neighbors. And Jesus told us to disciple nations. You know what the root word of disciple is? Discipline. Oh, amen. We're supposed to be disciplining this nation into the image that it was created to be. We're supposed to be disciplining this world into what it was created to be. Into the blessing of the God kind that it's supposed to be. We're not even talking about the new birth. We're not even talking about the Jesus Christ kind. We're talking about the kind that was created in the garden with the blessing on it. We can change this world and we don't even have to be weird about proselytizing it. We can change this world into the image of God. If you start releasing the image of God into people's lives, the gospel becomes very easy to share. Very easy to share. You are not supposed to be sick. Let me help you with that. I will lay my hands that contain the God kind. I will put my hands on you. You will not be sick. How can you do this? Because you and I are of the God kind. The God kind is not supposed to be broken. Not supposed to be sick. That was a lie from a snake. And a snake's head been crushed. But I'm not a Christian. I don't care. You will be. You are supposed to find people that are being plagued and tormented by devils and demons. We were told to free them. We're told to free them. Don't be naive, beloved. There are devils and demons that are plaguing people's lives. Even in here tonight. And if you're going to get all weird and crazy on me and worry about the doctrines of whether a Christian can be possessed or oppressed or if a devil can be in a Christian and the Holy Spirit can be in, I don't know. I don't know if a Christian can be possessed, but I know there's a lot of demons that are possessing Christians. We are not supposed to be under their influence. We are supposed to be influencing them. We are supposed to be naming them when they come to us. When they come to us and say, hey, you need to be very angry right now. You need to shut up and go back to hell. Whoa. Guess I tangled up with the wrong bro. You need to be sick right now. You need to shut up. The stripes of Jesus Christ purchased this body. If you ever come here talking that trash again, it's going to be on. Your head's been crushed one time. Don't make me stomp you again. You're supposed to be in lack. Everybody has bill problems. Everybody's in debt. Everybody owes somebody. No, the Bible says, owe no man anything but to love them. Shut up and get out of here. Right now I live in the provision of God. I'm of the God kind. The God kind is not broke. We're supposed to be naming our environment. And now we have the bloodline of Jesus Christ standing behind us. As if the God kind bloodline was not good enough, God came and realigned the bloodline. I tell you what, from now on, everybody that gets reborn, they're of one generation. One generation. You can never get deeper than one generation. One generation, you're of Jesus. One generation. You're not five down. You're not three down. Jesus is not your great grandpa. It's Jesus. One bloodline, one blood, and that blood, it says in Colossians chapter 1, has redeemed us from even the sin nature. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. One blood, one bloodline. For the God kind, who is now the Jesus Christ kind. All power and all authority has been given unto me. Therefore go into and teach all nations. Baptizing them, immersing them. Not baptizing them like Christianity wants to make it about being in a pool or being sprinkled on or being whatever. It's ridiculous. The word baptized means to immerse. Immerse. We're supposed to be immersing them in the Father. Immersing them in the Son. Immersing them in the Spirit of God. And we have entire denominations that curse the Spirit of God. We should be baptizing people in the Spirit of God. Immersing people in the Spirit of God. You have a problem? I know a comforter. His name is the Holy Spirit. I should immerse you in Him. Wouldn't you like to be immersed in comfort? That sounds delectable. I will take some. I will give it to you. It's free. The gospel's free. Dennis quoted that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. As you go, preach, declaring the kingdom of God is in my hands. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. How do you do it? Well, you do it freely. How can I do it freely? Because you've received it freely. Oh, okay. Thanks for figuring that out for me, God. No problem. That's what I do for you. I figure things out. I'm the comforter. I comfort you. Well, I should probably introduce you to some people in my life. Yes, you probably should. That'd be a great plan. Praise God. Philippians chapter 2. I want to see what kind of authority I have as a one bloodline away from Jesus Christ. Praise God. Y'all don't mess me up. I'm preaching real good. I know. I'm 3 minutes long. Stay with me. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind, I'm just going to have to quote it. Let this mind, I can't see my Bible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness, of man. Oh, praise Jesus. He was made in the likeness of man. Oh, you have never had a revelation of this scripture until I get done with it. He was made in the likeness of man. He wasn't made in the likeness of God. Follow me. He didn't come here and say, I am of the God kind. So I'm going to do divinity all over this place because I'm of the God kind. I was born of a virgin. Na 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 boo boo. If he would have done that, you know, none of you would have faith to be of the God kind. Because he would be special. He would be somebody that would be beyond your ability to attain to. Paul says, I have not apprehended, but this one thing I do, counting those things that I possess. In Philippians chapter 3. Praise God. And get off track. He was made in the likeness of men, not in the likeness of God. This is powerful. He was made in the likeness of men. I can see my Bible again. Praise Jesus. Sometimes a preach gets on you, you can't even see your Bible. And being found in fashion as a man, he was fashioned as a man. You know what that means? He had your fingernails, your hair, your skin, your, oh, come on now, your body odor. He had your guts. He processed food the way you did. He thought the way you thought, only of a divine nature. You know, he had to train himself to think. You know what you should be doing? Training yourself to think of the God kind. It says in Luke 2:52, it says that he grew in stature, that means in his form, in his he had to grow in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus had to learn how to understand his God part and his man part. Praise God. Look at you back there, fingers. He grew in stature and in nature with God and man. Jesus had to learn to be of the God kind. You know, that's why, think about it. If he didn't have to learn how to be of the God kind, what kind of a stupid temptation was it in Matthew chapter 4 when the enemy came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God? If he didn't have to learn and to have faith in and believe in his God kind, why would that even be a temptation? The devil's stupid, but not that stupid. It was a temptation because Jesus had to believe by faith that he was the Messiah. You know, his mama probably came to him and said, son, I got something to tell you. You didn't have an earthly dad. He had to believe that by faith, just like you have to believe it. Somebody comes to you and says, he was born of a virgin. And now we're in Christianity 2,000 years later in America. Yeah, we're born of a virgin. Woohoo, whatever. You can't even wrap your brain around born of a virgin. He had to believe that. You have to believe that you're born of the God kind. He was made in the likeness of man. And was found in fashion. He was fashioned as a man. When he was stripped naked and humiliated at the cross, he was a man. It says that all of my bones, I think it's Psalms chapter 8, it says all of my bones were exposed. I don't know, there's like 213 bones in the human body. I don't know how hard it is to shred so much skin and flesh off of a human being, but 213 bones exposed? He was a man. He died the death of a man. He bled the blood of a man. His skin hurt like a man. His mind was under the pressure like a man. He sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, trying to fight for another way but to be separated from his Father, his Father. His Father, his only Father. He was under stress. And Paul comes in and says, you don't know what stress is like. You have not yet resisted unto blood like our Lord Jesus. You have the ability to live in and understand the God kind that's on the inside of you. You were found in fashion as a man. Go home, strip naked, stand in front of your mirror and say, I'm a man or a woman. I'm of the God kind. This is what it looks like. I got news for you. It looks just like this. The God kind is not this part out here. The God kind is the part in here. That's the part that you were recreated from. You're not found in fashion on the inside. You're found in fashion on the outside. On the inside is the kiss of the Father that gave you life and breath and everything else that's in it. And he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? I've always read this scripture and thought that the wherefore was alluding to the fact that he died the death. Because he died the death. This is why God highly exalted him. God did not highly exalt Jesus Christ because he died. God highly exalted Jesus Christ because he lived. So the wherefore is attached to what? Being found in fashion as a man. Because he came and reconciled mankind to God. That's why God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, the man, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess unto the glory of God the Father. Where at? In heaven, in earth, and in hell. In heaven, and in earth, and in hell. See, now he's the God-man. God highly exalted him as a man, as the God-kind, as the humankind, as the son of Adam. God highly exalted him as the son of Adam. And now as the son of Adam, Jesus Christ is highly exalted. And at that name, everything will bow its knee, whether it be in earth, in heaven, or in hell. Now check me. If you can't get it through the name of Jesus Christ, you can't get it. If you can't get it through the name of Jesus Christ, you can't get it. And who are we? Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's verse 15, says that we, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, says that we are named. We are the family of God. We have the same name in earth as the saints do in heaven. You are named after Jesus Christ, the name that's above all names. And that name will make everything bow its knee. When those things come up to you, God is expecting you to take that Adam nature. And when problems show up and they rear their ugly head to you, you should keep the garden. And you should keep your wife. And you should keep your children and protect them from that snake. And when things show up, you should name them and give them a name. And that will be the name thereof. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you now have the authority to take back everything that Adam wasted away in the garden by not understanding his authority and his created nature. You were recreated in a nature that's above Adam's authority. Adam only had authority in water, earth, and air. You have authority above, on, and below this world. Because of the bloodline of Jesus Christ, the Son of Adam. And the Son of God at one time. Just like you. Born the son of Sharon Haight. Reborn the son of God Almighty, Steve Castle. Put your name in there. This is who you are. This is who God wanted you to be from the beginning. The blessing still exists on your life. A curse cannot overtake it. Never is a curse stronger than a blessing spoken from the lips of God the Father. This is who you are. And this is who you should be. Beloved, start naming the things that come into your life. You start crushing the head of that slithering creep that creeps into your life. That comes after your wife. That comes after your husband. That comes after your children. That comes after your sanity. That comes after your finances. That comes after your health. You start stomping snakes' heads. You start calling those things that should be called. You start exercising authority not only on this earth, but in the heavens above and in hell below. You tell them demons where they stay. You tell them angels where they're born. This is who we were created to be. This is who you were created to be. We were not created in the likeness of the fall of Adam. We were created in the likeness of the Creator. In His image and in His likeness. And it is time for us to exercise that authority. Jesus has been waiting 2,000 years for this message to be on your lips. Don't let Him wait any longer. Take authority over what you have authority. And it's from the earth to the skies to the seas to the hells and to the heavens. That's why Jesus said, even the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Because my church will stand at the gates of hell and will smash that snake's head again. It is time, beloved, for us to be what we were created to be. Instead of allowing this world to dictate to us what we should be. I give a crap what the TV says I'm supposed to own. I give a crap what the society thinks that I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to look like, what I'm supposed to smell like, what I'm supposed to drive, and what I'm supposed to live in. What do they know? They're not of the God kind. I'm of the God kind. In my kind, in my town, the streets are gold. Angels sit in subjection to me. We're supposed to rule over the nations and over the angels. We're supposed to bring justice and judgment to this earth. And this earth is trying to tell you what your justice is and what your judgment is. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And you need to send it back where it belongs because you got authority there too. Amen? We'll pray for you. We'll pray boldness into you. I'm going to pray an understanding into you. And I'm going to open altars. And I want you to receive those things that are coming from God. John the Baptist said, nobody can receive anything unless it comes from God. And so if you want to receive something from God, there are hands, there are lips that will release the kingdom of God into your life. But you have to answer. Father, right now I pray, I declare a boldness over your people. A strength that goes beyond whatever they think their arms and their hands and their minds can handle in the frailty of humanness. But now I believe that they have an authority. They have a rising up on the inside of them that is stronger than just sinews and fibers and tendons. That it's a strength that's come from the throne of God Himself. It's a strength that's in a people that knows that they are named after the family of God. After the name of Jesus Christ. And every knee shall bow to that name. And every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. This is your people, Lord. This is the people that you died for. This is the people that you have faith in. This is the people that you believe is going to disciple and discipline all nations. Not some other people. Not some other generation. We're not waiting for some other revival to come along. From some other people group to come along. From some other generation. Maybe the youth will do it. Maybe our grandkids will do it. Maybe our grandkids. No! Today's our day. Today's the day of the people of God. This is the day of salvation, declares the Lord. And this is your people with your boldness that are going to come under the authority that they were created to have by conquest of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I pray this over them in the name of the highest name, that name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, tonight's a great chance. If you have not been submersed and immersed in the power of the Spirit of God, tonight is a great opportunity. If you need deliverance or healing, tonight's a great opportunity. Right now, faith is high. Your faith in what God wants to do in your life is high. And I encourage you to receive it. Amen? Thank you so much for coming, beloved. I love you with all my heart. And I appreciate you in so many ways. All right, God bless you. Go into all your world and disciple nations in Jesus' name. All right, I love you. We'll see you soon. Praise God.